On the first episode of The Black Engineer, I'm going to talk about the typical story of a black engineer. Like many black engineers, we didn't always know that we wanted to be an engineer. And if you did, you were kind of lucky. There had to be some type of factors in your life that kind of told you that you could be it. But me growing up, I never even imagined that I could be an engineer. It wasn't until like high school that I really even knew what an engineer was. I got invited to a minority in engineering program that was thrown by the Coast Guard. And so I didn't really know what that meant. I just know that they sent me this application, said I was approved. We read it. It was like all expense paid trip out to New Haven, Connecticut to go to the Coast Guard Academy. And so I was like, okay, cool. Like, let me kind of go to this. It's a summer. It's a week. I get to travel, get on an airplane. It's all gravy. It's free. And so that was like really my introduction to engineering. And so I think that from that point on, I'm like, okay, I want to be a civil engineer. I really started to realize that I love roller coasters. You know, I had a season pass to Six Flags. And so as I started to learn about engineering and like structural design, I really started to realize, okay, I can be a civil engineer. And so, you know, just going through my high school career, obviously no one didn't really nurture that. It was something that I didn't really speak about. It was something that I wanted to do, but I think it's important that like kids in high school, they actually talk about the things that they want to do, and as well as to have, you know, people there who can listen. And I guess that is really what a mentor, what a mentee is, or what a guidance counselor is. It's like you go out and you ask them the question, and you're like, okay, I think you can do this, or you can do that, or maybe you want to look into this. So for myself, you know, looking back in it now, the reason why I'm putting these type of platforms is so that I can kind of educate myself when I was in high school to make sure that like I can put into some of the youth, my daughters, my kids, my nieces, my nephews, just the local community, into things that I feel that would have made me even more successful than I am right now. So I think like once I kind of realized that I did want to be an engineer, it really just set my path forward. I started to focus on school, focus on grades, tried to realize the things that I needed in order to even get accepted into an engineering school. And so at that point, I really looked at my grades and was like, well, you know, I'm doing good. I'm, you know, going to be able to graduate with honors. I'm on honor roll every semester. I'm scholar athlete, this and that. And so it really just started to give me an opportunity to kind of look at myself a little bit differently. Started to realize that I was like ranked and I was, you know, going to be put against people. We had to do standardized tests. I started to realize what these tests were because you needed a certain criteria to, you know, get these opportunities to go to school, to get scholarships, to kind of be involved in these programs. So, you know, again, fast forward, you know, I do graduate. I wanted to play football, and so I was kind of blinded by, you know, just wanting to play football. I was always like an athlete, played sports, got the opportunity to go play. You know, I got a few scholarship offers like here and there. Nothing really worked out, and so I ended up going up to San Jose State, which was one of the greatest things that I think that I've ever did, because San Jose just proved to be a place that I consider my home outside of LA. And, you know, I can see myself like living there, you know, and I just know that it's like a great place. But what was cool about San Jose was that it was a very progressive city. It was a city in which, you know, they were kind of ahead of their time. They had kind of been involved in, you know, technology, and they are the traditional heart of the Silicon Valley. And so I worked for some great companies, Intel, where I spent most of my career was Cisco, and I worked at a company called Applied Materials. And what was cool about Applied Materials at the time was that I actually was working with engineers who were working with Samsung and SanDisk to build the first ever solid state drives. And so, you know, when they would tell me about these things, hey, you'll be able to, you know, put, you know, gigabytes and like a terabyte, you know, eventually a terabyte, and they were coming up with all these like wild, you know, the notations for like these storage sizes. And I just thought it was cool because I had knew that, you know, I had a hard drive, big clunker, 200 megabytes, 200, you know, one gigabyte, whatever the case like may be at the time. Things were not as like massive as they are today. And this was kind of like setting everything up for that. Working at Intel, understanding about processing and things like that. And, you know, just being at Cisco, that's really where the networking really, you know, like they're the king of networking. They kind of invented the Internet of Things. They invented the VOD platform. They kind of reinvented cable in the way that we're going to watch things, and the way that we're going to stream, the way we're going to consume all this content. And so really got the opportunity to kind of like learn. And when I graduated school, I was a broadcast engineer. I had knew how to work like in the back of a television studio or inside of like a TV van, like a news van. And so you can imagine that, like, you know, someone who can take those skills and how those kind of relate over to like audio visual. So I would go to conventions and I would film. I would go to meetings. I would kind of be around all these high level executives and these huge and influential conferences, and just being able to, you know, be on the camera and film these people and hear them talk and hear the things that they were talking about and hear the way that they, you know, went about, you know, selling products and selling services and really pushing technology forward. Some of the meetings, you know, were not all about selling. It was about just bringing people together, explaining how things work so that people can go out and create. And so I really got the opportunity to kind of, you know, work with the company who were selling like a number of products. They were acquiring a lot of companies, and they were just bringing in different pieces, and they were just making these pieces work. Or they'll find one little part of like a company that, you know, makes the other piece of their product works that much better, and they'll integrate it. And so early on, I just really started to see how all these things were really fitting together, how they were able to work. And so when I first got my AV job, you know, I was kind of hired help. You know, there's three different levels of working in tech. You can work for the company, you can work at the company, or you can be a contractor for the company, which is still working at the company. And so I worked at the company, in which we meant we had a badge, we can get in, but it was really just for like this limited access place. We just did conferences, but we got to hear the CEO, the CFO, you know, just hearing these guys, these very like influential C-level execs talk about all these, you know, Fortune 500 things, which is amazing for me. And so I started as an analyst when I kind of got to work for the company. I was a contractor making cool money, but I was able to kind of like work on a team that had all these different levels. So it was like lead. So I was an analyst, but then there was a lead analyst. So I went out for the lead analyst job, got that. From an analyst, you know, I became, our team started to grow. So from being responsible for one person to being responsible for like three or four people, writing run books, writing playbooks, really taking new technology that didn't even have like a user guide or training guide, and really just taking a lot of those things apart and like creating them for myself, providing feedback to the developers, to the teams that are actually creating the products so that they can go out and like continue to make it better. And so I always wanted to have like my boss's job or like the person that was ahead of me, because one, I wanted to make more money, and two, I would always like try to figure out what they were doing, so that way it gave me a better understanding of what it is that I was doing. And so with tech, you know, I didn't necessarily run into like any hurdles or any barriers that other people who try to go through these other routes have gone, because I kind of worked my way up from the bottom. I was able to kind of get in, learn how it works, and just keep working my way up. And so come, you know, 5-10 years into my career, I'm kind of like at the same level, because, you know, as a person who may have gone to like Ivy League school, or a person who, you know, went to engineering and they kind of worked their way up through, you know, intern programs and just taking like entry-level jobs, associate jobs, things like that. And so for myself, you know, I didn't always know I was going to be an engineer. And I think a lot of engineers, at some point, they didn't really understand that they were going to be an engineer, but it just happened to be it. And then it wasn't until I actually became an engineer that I started to work with other engineers. And then I started to realize like, oh, I know as much or just as much than most of my peers. And then for the people who I really don't, like I can't mess with, because they're really the experts. They're really the game changers. They're people who are the architects around the thing that I was kind of working on and supporting. I tried to learn as much from them as possible, became you know, a sponge for just understanding what it is that they were talking about and the way that they went about their problems. And so for myself, you know, and I continue to do that, and I do that in business, and I do that in other areas. And so this Black engineer mentality is not just about like working in tech. This is about like every facet of your life. You have to engineer the life that you want. If you see that, hey, I want to have perfect credit, well, there's a way that you can engineer your life to, you know, remove things from your budget. There's a way that you can like pay off things, or you can call your creditors, or you can make a plan. But your plan may take 5 years, but at least you have a plan, and you're engineering that plan, and you're, you know, open and willing enough to kind of like move things around. But eventually you get back on your goal so that you can get your credit to where you want it to be. And so for myself, again, I talked about in business, but just in life, in my family, and like just being like a husband. And so this story of like a typical engineer should resonate. And I would hope that it resonates with a lot of you out there, because this is this is my story. And like, I've heard it time and time again from so many different engineers. People have, you know, told me that they feel like imposters. Well, we're not imposters because we just adapt. We see something, we want to learn it, we know it, we do the job well, we get the job done, and then we go learn something else and we just repeat the process. And so as a Black engineer, you know, we obviously deal with a lot, but at the same time, it's like we do have opportunity to kind of bring a different perspective into the conversation. And so as opposed to taking, you know, being Black and, you know, being a minority as a negative, I choose to look at it as a positive, because the Black engineer is always going to be needed. You're always going to need the person who also kind of goes against the grain. When everybody's over here saying, yes, you need this one Black engineer to either say, hey, well, I have another way to do it that you guys may have not thought about, or have you guys thought about this? And so you always need that person to kind of stir up the pot, just so that it gets people thinking, because one small idea can spark a massive change. And so this is episode one of The Black Engineer. I'm Terrell J. Johnson. Stay tuned for our next episode, where I'll be talking about some more cool concepts in tech. Peace.